Welcome to the final episode of Feast of All 2024 Recaps from Reality TV Warriors. My name is Michael Harmstone, and joining me as always, Al the Canadian, who asks us to call him Carlos, even though his name is Logan Saunders. Logan Saunders.
Good afternoon.
And the guy celebrating his birthday on the day we're recording, who regularly finishes when we give him a nudge, David Bindley.
Dear Dobindos doesn't have the same kind of ring to it.
It doesn't, no. Did you enjoy your little birthday message that we arranged for you?
I did.
I had that inspiration weeks ago. I sent it to Saunders as soon as I'd done it. And he was just like, this is brilliant, do it. And I'm like, oh, okay, perfect. I could not resist. I managed to get Bindles a message off your own, basically calling him old and saying that Rhiann would give up a seat for him, which is on our Twitter. And it delighted me as soon as I had the idea, I'll be honest. And how have your weeks been?
Very, very hot.
Well, I came down with some sort of flu bug a day and a half ago that I'm currently recovering from. So that's been fun.
Oh.
On the plus side, we've arranged everything for Antwerp now. I've booked my flights and hotel and everything, so we're actually definitely going.
Yeah, I just booked flights for the rest of the, or not all the flights left for the Euro trip, but some of the flights.
Well, that's going to be awkward when they do it in Brussels again.
They have confirmed this is Antwerp, I believe. The better bloody have. If I've booked in Antwerp, I'll be very annoyed with these orders. I presume Papa Bear told you it was Antwerp.
Yes. Yeah, I did. I did say Antwerp in the email. Yes.
Good. Right answer. Probably should have thought about that 2 days ago when I booked everything. When you panicked me about how much it was going to be. Saunders sent a message to our group chat on Saturday and said, oh, everything's so expensive. And I then had to rush upstairs and book everything. And I'm like, it's £7 dearer than last year. I'm literally not spending that much more money.
I think it's the 5 year difference that took. Plus, I found out it was a national holiday.
Yeah, I mean, the hotel prices especially are exactly the same as they were last year, I think. It's certainly not massively more expensive than it was last year, thankfully. Bingo card. Fuzzy broke her streak. She did not get three on the bounce. And this week she is playing to get half of the season correct. Or bingos and half of the season. And we will, of course, do everything in our power to stop that happening. To the point where, again, there's no Traitor Chat this week. I've still not caught up. I know what happened, still not caught up. Probably have no interest in catching up, I'll be perfectly honest.
Did you see any of the 11 sponsors for Big Brother Canada in addition to the 14 contestants that are playing on the side?
I did not, but I'm assuming they are not as hilarious as Pasta Sauce for Belgian Mole.
No, it is not.
That's a shame.
Is one of them a car sponsor?
Yes, there was a room with the car, because they went in there and said, oh, look at Victoria and... Anthony, I'm not going to call him Dougie-licious or Poutine Poppy, went into the room there and said, oh, look at this car. And then Victoria grinds against the car for a solid 10 seconds or so, like as if she was Aussie on The Price is Right.
Okay. The one thing that I have seen of Big Brother Canada 12 is the room with a car in it. I'm like, this show is just sold out at this point.
Well, I mean, it's not a surprise when it's the same production company as Amazing Race Canada. Where it seemed like during the off-season they thought, how can we squeeze in as many sponsors as we do on Amazing Race Canada, given that the viewership does not change no matter how many sponsors we have?
They should have had a Chinese-themed room sponsored by Cinerama.
Rest in power, Cinerama. They've gone to the travel agency in the sky. And one thing actually bringing us slightly back on track to this episode that I do need to mention is that friend of the podcast, Liam, who went to the cinema event with me in 2020, which was the last time that I went to a Dutch Mole finale. He was actually in Vondelpark, and he had a sign. I don't know whether you've seen the pictures of this yet, Saunders, but he had a sign shouting everyone out, including Marika and including us.
Oh, that's cool. Did it make it onto the episode?
It did not. It was hidden by a lighting tower, but the sentiment was there. But yes, thank you, Liam, if you are listening. It was much appreciated when I saw that picture.
So what you're saying is we stuck a big, huge sign about us in Vondelpark, and it was still less subtle than Euro.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
So previously, 10 candidates flew to Mexico for the Day of the Mole, but only one of them had a secret role to sabotage the entire game. Along the way, 7 of them got executed, some more than once, leaving just a final 3 of Anna, Fons, and Rosaria. Everyone comes into Vondel, say yes, and says that they think that it's Fons. And we learn that apparently Yip and Justin were actually in the boxes for real. Not that I believe them.
Yeah, they would. The only way to for you to believe it is if they took out a hammer and just started breaking away the box until Yip and Justin break out.
Yeah, like the banging on the boxes was so fake. I do not believe for a second that they were in those boxes.
Oh, no. Remember when we thought Yip was going to be one of the big characters of the season?
Yeah, remember when someone had Yip as the number one suspect in week one?
Yeah, who was that dumbass?
I mean, we need to scrape literally any negatives we can for our suspicions this season, because, spoilers for the end of the episode, we pretty much dominated.
Yeah.
Like, we had a very good season as a group here. Even Michelle was on Anna by the end, and I did ask her on Friday who her top suspect was going into the finale, and she's like, I'm torn between Rosario and Anna, but I think I'd go Anna. I'm like, of course you would. You've probably been listening to Michelle.
Anna. That's all the suspect lists look like.
Yeah, it's Anna times 27 is the answer to our suspects at the end of the episode, yeah. I'm afraid.
I'm sorry. I did like Rick sort of conning Rhiannon and Case to both say Fonz was the mole, and then just being, you know, a real sarcastic bitch like, oh, well, this will be a surprise to you later.
What planet are you two on?
I just love that every single one of the people who went home was like, yeah, it's Fonz, yeah, it's Fonz, yeah, it's Fonz. And then he goes, well, let's have a look at what the Dutch public are thinking. And it's like 48% Anna. And it's like, oh, yeah, these people are going to have some fun experiences in 5 minutes.
Mm.
I was amazed that all of them were stubborn enough to still say Fonz when the Dutch public, it was one of the widest margins ever, right? 49% on Anna.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the widest ones that we've discussed for a while, I think.
Yeah.
And they're still saying, nope, no, it's definitely Fonz. They weren't there, we were.
Also, on my favourite once a season topic, finale fashion, there's only one person I'm going to talk about here, and that is Yeroen being dressed as a ventriloquist dummy.
My only note on that was, why has Yeroen come to the reunion dressed as Soy?
He really has. Nobody is obviously on the level of Jan Versteeg's finale suit being one of the best pieces of fashion in television history. But yeah, Yeroen is the only one I want to actually talk about, because that one did make me laugh every time they cut to him, just looking like he should have Jeff Dunham's hand up his ass.
I had to change the description to middle-aged, chubby, Spanish-looking dude without beard.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He's actually shaved. It was unsettling.
The only other one that seemed really interesting was Tuska turning up dressed like she was, you know, about to appear in the Macarena video from the 90s.
I did like Rianne's necklace of flowers, actually. I thought they were quite fitting for the season.
Yeah,
I feel like we're like the Oscars red carpet right now. We're analyzing what everyone wore.
Yeah, because the thing is, we don't really talk fashion on this podcast at all. So it's hilarious to talk about finale fashion where everyone either goes really boring or really ridiculous. There is no middle ground.
Has anybody toppled Clay's?
I mean, Jan Versteeg is my favorite of the finale fashion that we've ever seen on Mol.
Was that the pineapple suit?
No, that was the silver suit with the wire bow tie. That was really cool.
I did like that Anna had two spectacularly weird outfits.
Yeah. Question for Saunders as well. How many people in the background did you actually recognize?
Not too many.
This is our other favorite topic of old candidate spotting, because the entire top six of last season were there. Yoru was obviously sat separately, but we had Daniel Renomi, Anker, and Soy all together in that booth. With Horace, weirdly. Horace Cohen, family name Horace Cohen from New York City, USA, Netherlands. He was randomly sat with them.
From New Amsterdam.
We had some really random picks in the background behind Anna and Rick as well. I know Bindles was doing a bit of spotting on them.
Yeah. So I saw Daniel Renomi, Anik, Anna, Horace, Ali Lust, Rick Paul from Colombia, Peter from Sri Lanka, Hila, Everon, the first boot from Czechia, whose name I've already forgotten even though I looked it up last night.
Florentine?
No, he was second.
Oh, wow. That really is unmemorable.
And then randomly, sort of in the second row behind all of those people, who, you know, I think were just like normal people. Behind them, I think I saw one of the contestants from Australia and Indonesia, like the first Celebrity Season 20 years ago. And she's only in the background for a couple of minutes and then sort of just disappears again. So she might have been sitting behind the pillar and just sort of leaned out to the side for a bit. But it looks like it's one of the contestants from 20 years ago that they just never draw attention to.
So, shockingly, Florentine was actually third boot and Remco was the first boot.
Remco, that's what Remco. I'm thinking.
It was Remco, Eric, Florentine were the first three.
And then there was one guy sort of sitting in the corner with Ellie and Rick Paul, who sort of very clearly must have been a former contestant just from where he was sitting. But I didn't recognize him at all. And the only thing I can think of is maybe Ruben from Georgia has had a shave without telling us.
Do you know who he was? Because I've found out.
Did you?
He is. Yes, I know exactly who he is. He is Rick Paul's husband.
Oh.
Who has never been on Vidim, but they have been married for 9 years at this point and have two kids together.
Wow.
Yes, I went down a rabbit hole in the last hour to try and find out who he was to surprise you with it on the podcast. But yes, he's Renee, Rick Paul's husband, who has never been on Vidim. And for some reason was given a front row seat to the Vidim reunion.
He'll be on it next year then.
Maybe he's one of the randomers who's on Healer's season.
Hmm.
But yeah, as Bindle said, Healer was given a very prominent position because obviously they were at some point planning on going, oh, the mole isn't going underground for the entire year because we've got a civilian season coming. Surprise! Even though everyone knows. And for some reason, they didn't do that announcement yet.
Why not?
My guess on that would be because Traders Netherlands is doing a civilian season and it is not rating very well, from what I understand.
It's not the same network, though, is it?
I don't think so. But apparently, Traders sort of does about half of what Vidim normally does. And even their ratings have dropped like 25-30% with the civilians. So I'm guessing they're sort of trying to avoid comparisons to that.
Yeah, I think the whole point of Traitors was that it was to try and spoil Vidim eventually. So they were on a different network. I think they're on RTL. And then Vidim's obviously on Avro.
Yeah.
Or NPO. So yeah, I think they're on different networks. But yeah, I did see that theory that you posted. So Justin's also on Fonz, Tuska's on Fonz too, and she says that the entire group may need therapy if it isn't Fonz.
Wouldn't some of them have been executed while suspecting Fonz?
Yeah, but also, this season is unique in the fact that we saw that all of the losers went to Ponderosa, so they've all had time to talk to each other as a group of probably at least five of them, if not all seven. I presume Case didn't go to Ponderosa with them, because he obviously got executed at the final test. But I presume the other six did.
Wonder if Case and Rianne were on Rosario then?
I think at least one of them said they were on Fonz still. They just thought they lost on time or knowledge of the questions. Especially Case, I think, who you couldn't read his handwriting.
Or Tuska. Didn't Tuska say that because of the twist with her execution?
Yeah, I think people did go home suspecting Fonz, but they just thought that everyone was on Fonz by that point.
Yeah.
That's my assumption, right? As Saunders says, the suspicions by the time of the reunion were Anna on 49%, Rosario on 29%, and Fonz on 22%. And I thought it was very interesting that the setup at Vondel's AS was actually a bit different from 5 years ago in the fact that they didn't have a random platform in the middle where they did the reveal. They actually just did it on the stairs of Vondel's AS.
Yeah.
With the other seven just looking on, looking freezing in the wind in Amsterdam. Because
yeah.
I actually looked this up. The weather in Amsterdam this weekend was not terrible. It was about 11 degrees Celsius, I think, which is significantly warmer than it was when I was there. But the wind was blowing a gale.
Yeah, because you see Rick panic saying, "Everyone, silence, silence."
And then
silence
audience
in Vondel Park.
And then sort of some random in the audience just screamed.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote that down too. Ah! It was right before the reveal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like seconds before, this one person just screams. This one lone scream at the top of their lungs.
Yeah. So what happens is he always asks for silence right before he does his spiel of, "Oh, Anna, you spread until Fonz came on your radar," and all that sort of stuff. So he always asks for silence at that point. But as soon as they do the V is the mole thing, the crowd starts cheering and stuff, but it went quiet again straight away, and someone just shouts, "Anna!" And then it went into the video. It was perfect timing, whoever did He could not have done it any better. It was beautiful.
It's Anna.
So yeah, Anna spread until Fonz came on a radar. He never missed an opportunity to take money from the pot, whether it's to spend money on Yoker's or for final test questions. Fonz exposes people in companies who wrong people in his real life. Now he could lie freely and cheat. He says Anna is the mole because of her communication in the Olympic Stadium and her tactics throughout the season. But would a mole earn them 6,000 euros?
Yes.
Yes is the answer, spoilers. Rosario could be on either of them. He's not as innocent as he seems. He loves games, but the game assignment ended in failure. He rang the Yoker hotline for far too long, bid for final test questions, and cost them 3,000 euros. The biggest mystery is how he isn't suspected at all. Are Anna and Fonz so fixated on each other that Rosario slipped through the middle? Is he the first mole in 24 seasons not to be unmasked?
Spoilers, no.
I mean, at that point, even though I did go into watching this episode knowing that Anna was the mole, because I foolishly looked on Instagram almost as soon as the reveal happened, and it's like, the top thing was Vistamol.avotros. Oh, here's your video of Anna's reveal. I'm like, for fuck's sake, at least you know I'm right, but I could have done without a spoiler straight away, thank. Even if I hadn't known it was Anna, as soon as Rick says that, like, production's aim is for the mole to be unmasked. If the mole is not unmasked, that is a direct failure of production. They're not going to let it happen.
Yeah.
Rick says that they didn't make it easy for viewers. I would disagree. But there's only one person who was actually paid to sabotage this season, which I thought was a very bitchy thing for him to say.
It's his indirect way of saying that Fonz and Rosario did so badly at earning money for the group.
Yeah, and my favourite bit of this entire pre-reveal segment was the fact that Yeroen was not paying attention. He was watching the screens because he's obviously a bit easily distracted and looked straight at the screens, even though it was halfway across Vondel's AS from him. He's just waiting for the montage video to come up because he knows what's coming. So we then flash back to Dia del Topo, once more to a montage of the faces to see Anna being made up in reverse, revealing her as mole, and she even reveals it in sign language. So we now know what the sign language, or the Dutch sign language, is for mole.
Could be a hidden clue for next year. I wrote down that at 17 minutes and 27 seconds into the episode, the camera cuts to a random girl just staring into the camera very, very awkwardly for way too long.
Yeah, and I've also just realised the one thing that was missing from this, which is there was no awkward segments with people betting in the audience to win a bottle of champagne as to who the mole was.
Yeah, I wrote that down too, that he wasn't just... They didn't have Ron go into the audience this year.
Yeah, it's always Ron or Chris Sagas, and neither of them were there.
No big loss.
I mean, it is no big loss, because obviously this reunion actually felt a lot better than most of them do in terms of pacing. We actually got quite a lot of Anna's sabotages, thankfully. But it was the main thing missing was the awkward chats with the crowd going, oh, I think it's Anna. Oh, I think it's Fonz. I think it's Rosario. Well, one of you is winning a bottle of champagne.
Maybe they didn't do that because everybody in the audience thinks it's Anna.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Ron wasn't there because he was too busy reposting memes on his Instagram.
What?
That's all Ron. If you go to Ron's Instagram account, all he does is just repost memes of Instagram reels. That's all he does.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I had to avoid his account or mute him because of that. Because it's just like, Ron's not, because I thought it'd be super random if he had any mole content on there. But it's just a bunch of random memes that he just reposts on his Instagram all the time.
Fair enough. So both Fonz and Rosario had Anna as mole, meaning the winner isn't a guarantee yet. They both filled in all the tests that the mole was a woman, and both of them were, like Logan Saunders, on Yip in week one. From week two onwards, Rosario said it was Anna. Fonz was on Anna from week three, switched to Tuska right afterwards, and then back to Anna after Tuska went home. One of them scored 32 out of 40 for the final test, and the other 35 out of 40. The winner of Vistamol 2024 is, and my heart said it, my heart wanted it to be Fonz, and it was.
Hey!
Macarena.
Is it just me, or is that are those two very low scores for two people who not only got to see 10 of the final test questions in advance, but also were on the same mole for almost the entire season?
They were very low scores.
Especially Rosario, for the fact, because I thought when Rick announced the scores, I was thinking, well, if Rosario was on Anna from week two and never wavered, he wouldn't score as low as 32 out of 40 on the final quiz, because he also got to see 10 of the test questions. So why did he score so low for taking notes on Anna and focusing on her actions for the entire season?
Especially because he said he got 8 of the questions from that advanced look. So he would have scored like 24 without that.
24 out of 30.
Out of 40. So he would have been just over 50%.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have been spoiled the past few years in terms of really high final test scores.
Yeah.
But yeah, 32 for a person who's been on the mole for 8 tests at that point does feel a little low.
Yeah.
35 is not a bad winning score, but 32 does seem a bit low for someone who arguably probably should have won the season if he was on Anna that early.
And Rocky's charity. The streak is broken.
Well, no, Daniel didn't say anything about Rocky's charity last year. I think we said he did, because it's a hilarious joke to keep perpetuating. But yeah, Daniel was the first one in years to not say, oh, I'm going to give some money to Rocky's charity, obviously. I didn't even see Rocky in the audience, actually, so maybe there's been some sort of scandal with Favela Street and they're not directly acknowledging her anymore.
Yeah.
The best thing, of course, about the reveal of Fonz's winner, though, is the fact that Rick was drowned out in the announcement by the song Macarena.
Hey!
And then your Owen just starts dancing to it for the next 10 minutes.
And, yeah. The hidden hints and sabotages were actually quite good this season.
I have one other observation before we get to that. In most reality shows, if you conspire during filming to split the money, you would normally be disqualified, because Fonz outright says, me and Rosario had an agreement that regardless of who won, we would split the money and I'm going to keep up that end of the deal. And I was thinking, there are very, very few rules with reality shows, and that's like, what, the second or third biggest rule to not break on a reality show is to not conspire to split the money?
Yeah, I mean, that is later in the episode, but yeah. I think it's because, basically, in the past few years, they've all decided that they're just going to secretly nominate a charity to donate the winnings to. I think it's got to the point where, actually, bid and winners don't keep the money themselves anymore. Because that's what happens on Celebrity Traitors seasons as well, is the fact that they all nominate a charity, and the charity just gets those winnings straight away.
I just think it's funny that we've had 2 reality shows in the last 12 months that have, you know, being, oh, it's winner takes all for God knows how long, and then all of a sudden we've just had the finalists splitting the money.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed is that after Fonz split the money with Rosario, Fonz made his donation to the, was it journalists? What was the name of the journalist charity?
It's Free Press Unlimited.
Yes, so he donates the money to them. Rosario does not announce giving the money to charity, so presumably he's kept the 4,000 euros for himself.
I presume he actually is donated to charity. Although, yeah, we didn't see it. So, in the absence of any logic, I'm just assuming that Rosario's nominated charity was Favela Street. Unless we hear otherwise.
It would be funnier if his Instagram and social media is just full of him having just the biggest night out partying with his 4,000 euros.
To be honest, 4,000 euros probably isn't going to get you very far in Amsterdam. For more than one night, at least.
One, yeah. Shots.
So, hidden hints-wise, there was one big one that was actually flagged by Fuzzy in week one, which was the happy birthday balloon visible in Dia del Topo. I did remember it. It was a big reason why I was suspicious of Anna anyway. But we actually, I don't think, picked out the right person in the receiving line, because they were very careful not to show actually Anna in that receiving line. I think she was at the very end of it, which is a bit mean. All of them looked Anna right in the eyes, knowing that they didn't recognise her. She even danced with them and helped them look at her necklace in some cases. And Fonz, Justin and Yip were all actually beaten by the mole. I went back to week one and double-checked who didn't get an exemption, and it was those three and Anna. Which is another reason, I suspect, during week one, because obviously the mole isn't going to want the potential of €1,000 going in. Apparently the only people who were mistaken for Anna at the party were men in drag, which is hilarious. And she's actually quite nice about it. And the plan at the speed dating was for her to suggest a tactic, but not actually get the exemptions removed. It is fair to say that tactic did not succeed, because she was expecting people to have a little more self-interest.
Yeah.
Which changes later on in the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, if if they'd done that towards the end of the season, I think Fonz of Rosario absolutely would have been like, no, you're not taking my exemption. But early in the season, everyone wants money.
Maybe they knew they had two free passes with Babs involved.
Yeah, if they'd done that challenge as the non-elimination, like if everyone gets an exemption, then we just cancel the elimination, whatever, in, say, episode 4 or 5, I think it would have been a lot harder for her to get the exemptions out of play.
Yeah. Do you think on that note that if Fonz had actually got an exemption, there would have been a bit more self-interest? Because Rosario did, but Fonz didn't. And they were definitely the two who had the most self-interest in the season.
That's a good question, yeah.
Do you think she actually made a tactical error there in getting Fonz to not even have an exemption and not really care about anything other than money?
That would drastically change the dynamic for that challenge.
Mm.
Instead, she's indirectly responsible for 6,000 going into the pot.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, in hindsight, is probably a good thing, because my God, what the pot would have been if not for those 6,000 euros from the first challenge.
Rocky's charity would have ended up owing Vidim money.
Yeah, I was thinking about this in relation to Averon, because obviously he's the direct comparison in terms of how much money was actually in the pot by the end of the season. He's the only one who kept more money out of the pot than Anna did. But they are, in a way, two sides of the same coin, because Averon was forced into taking a step back because of the 5,000 euros definitely coming out at the end of the season. Whereas Anna, because the money had gone in early in the season, she had to play a little more aggressively and take more money out of the pot and be more pushing for sabotage, because that money was already in the pot and it needed to be limited for later in the season.
Yeah. I'd much rather an Anna type having to do more than an Everon type doing nothing. But also, that was way too much money.
Yeah, I feel like Anna was forced into doing a lot more sabotage because of this early challenge.
Yeah.
Which for us worked out very well, because we picked up on a lot of the sabotage as a result of it. It was a much easier mole for us to find as a result of her being forced into having to do a lot of sabotage.
And she also had the right dynamic for the pot to be limited, because the final four is herself, Rosario and Fonz, who both really act in their own self-interest almost the entire season. And then Case, who apparently, we find out in this reunion, never understands the rules to a single challenge and always asks for them to be repeated.
Case got such a rinsing off Anna for how easy he was to just be her puppet, basically. Like, as much as I've obviously joked in the show notes about this being their take on Fort Bayard's mystery cards and all that sort of stuff, Case was the mole's puppet in a lot of ways in this season. It was very funny.
It's always very funny when a mole does something like that, because there's a couple of seasons I can think of where the sort of same situations popped up, and every single time it makes me laugh when they get around to it in the reunion.
I mean, there was something else in this reunion which Saunders hasn't seen that we are going to talk about, that,
yes, we are.
That I think shocked people more than anything in the room.
Yep.
Because let's just say there was something the old mole did that very much nearly got the season cancelled, Saunders.
What's that?
I'll get to it in a minute. The segment we've not let you watch for good reason. So she said she wanted to be in the group that was unlocking paintings in the Frida Kahlo assignment, as she knew which ones not to unlock, and in fact, didn't unlock 3 of the correct pictures that they needed out of a possible 5, which was a spectacular sabotage.
Yeah, that was a really, really good one.
Like, obviously, slightly production-induced, because they told her where the paintings were, but that is a bloody good sabotage to go, actually, I'm going to keep 3 of these paintings out of the potential winnings here.
And Case and Tuska ended up suspecting each other in that group of 3, as opposed to either of them suspecting Anna.
I mean, in hindsight, I sort of see why they suspected Case, given how laughably bad he was at that challenge. He was really bad at it. And she basically just aped exactly what Case was doing and read out wrong numbers. Constantly. I mean, we called that out in the episode, actually. Called that out in when we were talking about that challenge, is the fact that Anna kept repeating wrong numbers. It wasn't subtle. So she planned to create chaos in the Olympic Stadium. She turned the microphone off, as we saw. She rattled off instructions and stopped removing the word mole, which made it impossible to make a number with. And Case and Fonz also messed up far more than she ever would have as mole.
Case was like a secret mole.
Yeah, he really was the secret asset of the mole here. It was very funny to see that actually all these rumors swirling about Valkyr in 2 weeks' time is that, oh, maybe they're going to have two people acting as mole. It's like, no, they're not. It's not going to happen. But yeah, this season essentially had four moles at one point, because they had Anna as actual mole, they had Case, and then they had Fonz and Rosario, who were just acting purely in self-interest.
And they all made final four. No wonder that pot stood no chance of growing after episode one. 2,000 euros in the last, what, the next eight episodes of the season.
Yeah, 2,585 euros in eight episodes. An average of 300 euros an episode.
It helps that they didn't really get a lot of chances to even make money.
What are you talking about? They had the chance to earn 38,640 euros. The highest prize pot in Vidim history. I don't know what you're talking about, Bindles.
Yeah, it's a shame all the other challenges were like 75 euros, 80 euros.
An empty juice box, three pencil crayons, a ticket to the 1906 World Fair.
Exactly.
So apparently she spoke to Old Moles, who told her that the group would mess up enough on their own. She didn't believe it, and then she just had to experience it with the Olympic Stadium Challenge. She stopped Tuska helping because she knew exactly what she'd do to stop the moling happening. Up the mountainside, she was also hoping the others would get curious about standing up, but didn't expect them to stand up so much. She also shared information she knew they wouldn't be tested on to try and get the correct facts out of their heads. She answered all four of her questions incorrectly. Very clever cut from production here, changing chocolate to chocolate milk, adding an extra three zeros onto the population, claiming the anarchists are Mexico's oldest group, which did make me laugh. And there was a fourth one as well that she sabotaged, and she does say that her surprise was genuine, as she was worried that the other four would have scored 3,000 euros between them and made it obvious who was sabotaging.
Oh my god, Richard calling it daycare for the hotel group.
Yes.
Seniors daycare. That's the old folks home challenge.
It is spectacularly ballsy of Anna as mole to go, you know what, I'm going to sabotage all four of my questions and make it super obvious if everyone actually played this straight, because I've got faith that they won't.
While one team was listening to a podcast scaling a mountain, we now cut to the Springfield retirement castle and check in on the other four contestants.
They're just watching an episode of Countdown in advance for eight episodes' time.
They're sat in their chairs, getting their meds and having their afternoon naps. Rick is always much better at a reunion than he is in the actual pre-recorded episodes, I find.
It's like they edit him out when he's a dickhead.
Yeah, they edit him to be super bland in the episodes, I think. Whereas when he's doing live TV, he just can't help but be a bit of a dickhead to these people, and it makes him infinitely better.
Yeah.
She was in the street for the wrestling challenge and had a strategy to draw wrestlers that wouldn't be performing from posters, action figures, and other merchandise. Also, spectacular sabotage. She also used wrong colours and names to make it difficult to match, and had the balls to cross out the names and still take pictures of them and send them to the team in the apartment. Like, she made it super obvious she was sabotaging and changing names on that, and they didn't pick up on it. Well, maybe Fonz did, actually, but Justin definitely didn't.
Her obvious sabotages didn't come back to bite her until Fonz needed a new suspect.
No. She was actually probably one of the gutsiest moles we've had for years. Especially on video. Yeah. Like, I expected to go into this episode knowing that Anna was the mole, just going, yeah, she probably did some hilarious things, but I bet she didn't do that much, really. And I'm just kind of rattling these off and going, Jesus, she was actually quite a good mole here.
Yeah.
Even though she was obvious to us, she was a pretty bloody good mole. Yeroen wanted to keep an eye on Fonz, so trusted Anna not to mess around too much. More fool him. And now the bit that Saunders hasn't seen, so I cannot wait to just isolate his reaction when I say these words. In the Old Mole assignment, she hadn't met up with the Old Mole, and they tried ringing, but Case answered. She did tell the Old Mole where the key was, which is under the doormat, and she smashed four minus pinatas, at least two of which we saw, as I mentioned in the episode at the time. And the bit that you needed to see, really, Saunders, is that the Old Mole also rang Babs and said, "Hello, Anna, it's insert name of Old Mole here," and she didn't notice.
What? Wow. It's like Babs got executed three times in one season.
Yep.
She gets executed twice, and then in case they don't want her eliminated, and production really wants her to win the season, they say, okay, Old Mole, just tell Babs who the mole is, because we really want Babs to win this season.
And she was one of the people who saw Anna in the first challenge, so she basically had four chances and still left up.
It's like she had anti-Anna vision and hearing. There could have been a sign, like when she logs in to do the quiz, it could have said, hello, Babs, Anna is the mole. Now here are 20 questions about the identity of the mole.
Who is Anna?
Who is Anna? Anna's the mole. First question, is the mole Anna? Yes or yes? And undecided is the third option.
I'll also say this now. If we'd already covered Vid of Mexico and you'd seen it and we were actually talking about who the mole was here, their reaction would have been the banner this week because it was hilarious. They were so shocked. It was delicious.
It's like Bab, you know how there's like tunnel vizzy for who people think the mole is? It's like Bab said tunnel vizzy for who she thought the mole wasn't.
Yeah.
I think the funniest bit is the old mole sort of driving past at the end of the challenge, saying hi to everyone, and Bab's still not putting two and two together that that's who was on the phone.
Yep. She basically had five chances to get the mole correctly and still didn't win.
Yeah.
One thing I did mean to mention last week when we were talking about the mole money thing and how it all adds up to 1935 is those €5 notes that we saw in that challenge aren't even part of the standard mole money.
Oh.
They used different notes than they normally do for the mole money because it didn't have any contestants on them. It was plain white with the Mexican flag on it.
It might have been a copy of the notes from the original Mexico season.
It may very well have, but it definitely isn't in this season's mole money. I think if it was actually from the OG Mexico season, then people probably would have twigged that there was going to be a connection to it. And I didn't see anything about that when the titles were revealed. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was. But those are definitely not in this season's mole money anyway. In the dance assignments, she had to make sure the wrong dancers remained. She passed on the wrong information in the second round, sending off one of the right people. Case also gave her wrong information, despite him just hearing it from Rick. And she says if you give the mole a nudge, she will finish it off. Fonz was indeed the one who should have left the dance floor too, which I think was confirmed in the actual episode because we saw Rick being a bit of a dick to him. But yeah, Fonz was the one who should have left the dance floor. In Kazama, she wanted to drive as the less people who arrived, the less money they could earn. She took necklaces off some of the people who needed to be picked up and threw them into the undergrowth and drove around without picking anyone up and drops off some guests in the wrong place. She also asked Charlie to call himself Carlos, meaning he was put in the wrong place.
That's a sneaky sabotage. There's no Euroan left to verify what she's saying.
Yeah, she took advantage of Euroan not being there and did a beautiful sabotage as a result of it. And it's something that we actually probably should have picked up on at the time because we saw Charlie get introduced as soon as he came to the party. Case asked him his name. And then we just didn't twig that he was calling himself Carlos by that point.
And he's still calling himself Carlos to this day.
Mm.
But this is also the point where Fonz started to suspect Anna again, because he chased her thanks to his broken tuk-tuk. He saw her leave a couple with chains on and drive past, and she didn't know that he spotted her until the reunion, so we get a wonderful reaction off her. On the Bacalar Lagoon, she was paired up with Case, which was a godsend to her. He can paddle well, and she gets to sabotage completely unattended, which is something we called at the time the fact that she's the only one who never paddles. She threw words into the lagoon where everyone else could see her. She also deliberately didn't get any articles or verbs. And in fact, when Fonz was doing his screaming about having no articles, she was holding an article in her hand. She even, as we expected, held up the mole sign as Case paddled past the camera.
Yeah, we picked up on that one.
Yeah, we did spot that she picked up the mole sign, but we didn't know that she actually held it up to the camera, just being like, yeah, it's me, Case. Or the fact that they'd had a long conversation about how if she is the mole, she's going to be sat behind him, just making faces and going, I'm the mole, behind him, to which we do then see her do it. She presents him with a sign reminding him that she was the mole. He was the perfect candidate as he trusted her blindly and was a bit clumsy, so she could just use him as a constant scapegoat. Fonz then says he's very happy he beat Rosario because of the Macarena question. But he's splitting the pot with Rosario anyway, and of course giving some money to Rocky's charity and Free Press Unlimited.
And I figured out what Rosario is going to spend his 4,000 euros on. It's going to buy the rights to the Lost El Rio catalog, and now he'll own the rights to the Macarena song.
And Christmas Macarena.
Yeah, he can make money back off it that way.
And presumably they have other songs too.
And she says she really enjoyed throwing things away, keys, chains, envelopes, words and milestones. Some assignments turned out better than expected, mainly those with minus money, but she enjoyed manipulating the group. She made sure Case had the highest amount on the zipline, knowing he's bad at math and would go out quickly. She knew Rosario didn't trust her, so wanted to take money in the laser game to make sure that the money didn't make it into the pot anyway. Do you want to run through the hidden clues, Bindles?
Yeah, okay. So we had Dia Del Topo airing on Anna's birthday with the balloon shown. We had the Frida Kahlo painting with the numbers, had Viva La Vida as the title, and that was a hint to how if you added all of the numbers together, you end up with how many days Anna had been alive as of the date of the reunion, which is such a stupid hint. It's like Gilda Costa came up with it. The tarot cards showed hands with white nail polish, which Anna wore all season. Had the test been described as analog, and then analog sort of been a compound word that sort of sounds like the words analyze in Dutch, which is the sort of clue they've done before, but it's, yeah, it makes sense to why they redid it then. And then we had in the music challenge, the challenge where you had to put the notes on the musical stave, that song is normally in B minor, and then minor in Dutch is the word mol, except where they put the little symbol for B minor, they actually put it on A minor, which, you know, so A mol and a mol, and it's those sort of clues that I kind of like, where it's sort of, you know, it's makes sense within the context of the season. You couldn't really do it in other scenes, but it's like gettable as well. It's not, you know, hit you over the head with how obvious it is. There's also one clue that they didn't list on the website that I want to point out. It's when in the first challenge where they had to go and search for the little symbols, the symbol Anna looked for was a crown. And then in episode 5, we see the crown again because it's visible as a tattoo on the former mole.
And the one that I want to point out is the fact that in the mountain challenge, Anna is a science journalist and she deliberately avoided getting the category on science, which I don't know whether that actually is a deliberate sabotage from her, but I assume it is because there is no way in hell that any people who know about what Anna's job is, and we hear that it was Yip was the only person who actually had really met Anna before in the cast, which actually probably helped her a lot of the time. Anyone who knows who Anna is probably would say, Anna, you do science as a job. You probably want to, you know, do the science category here.
Yes, just to confirm, those €5 notes are copies of the original Mexico notes.
That makes sense. But yeah, that actually isn't in this season's mole money, which is an interesting choice for them. Do you guys want to sort of talk about how good a mole Anna was, seeing as though I've done loads of it already before I do the formalities?
Given how much we were onto her, I was surprised by how good of a mole she was.
Yeah. It's weird, because like, we were on her all season, but it never really felt obvious the way it did with Yura and Everon and Yeroen. It felt like, I think it really helped that there were other options sort of doing things this season as well. I don't know why we never really thought it was Fonz or Rosario, and like we were so solid on Anna the whole time, because I think a lot of what Anna was doing, they were hiding from us. But even then, it was still possible to get, you know, what she was doing because she was so active as a mole, and I kind of liked that they did it that way.
And I much prefer the idea of the mole actually putting the effort in to adapt their sabotages. Like even if we figure out who the mole is, if the mole is adapting to the situation and still pulling off pretty interesting and unique sabotages, it doesn't take away from the person being the mole at all. In contrast to, say, Yeroen, when Yeroen was the mole and he did, whenever there was a curveball thrown at him, he would just do absolutely nothing and crumble in the process. With Anna, regardless of the situation, she was always trying to find an angle to work at being the mole, even if we knew with almost 100% certainty that she was the mole all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that we've gone through this season basically saying that they're trying to do a lot of stuff that Belgium does. But one of the key things that they have done in this reveal, I suppose, that Belgium does, is actually made it possible and plausible that our choice could be the mole. Because it's been years since we've been satisfied with a mole on the show, probably back to Rob in China. at least for me. I haven't been satisfied with a Vid and Mol in years, and it's nice to be satisfied. And yes, I was on the right track very quickly, but contrary to what I usually say of, oh, I don't mind being fooled by this show, I like that Anna was the Mol because it felt like she was. It felt like a plausible choice. Whereas I don't think necessarily that if you were looking at the cast of South Africa 2, you would immediately pick Yura. And I don't think if you're looking at the cast of Albania, you would immediately pick Averon. It felt nice.
Yeah. I think the other thing that sort of helps with Anna being the Mol is she did kind of express remorse a little bit. Like, you know, sorry for lying. And then there's a couple of other times during the reunion where she does things along those lines, which is a nice change from how basically the last decade or so, every Vid and Mol has been like, yes, this is a job, I'm going to sabotage it, and then just sort of come across as a bit nasty because of it. Like Susan in Hong Kong, Philippines. I think it took like a little bit of the fun out of it, just watching the Mol being so remorseless about the sabotaging. And it was nice to have sort of a Mol just be like, yeah, I'm going to sabotage it, but I'm not going to feel good about it.
I was just thinking it'd be hilarious if there was a Mol who was really over the top remorseless during the reunion. Just screaming in your face after every sabotage reveal.
Maybe not that like that over the top, but there have been a couple who sort of been sort of very, I'm going to sabotage it, get out of my way sort of thing.
I think it does also help that actually nobody really knew Anna. So she could work like a Belgian Mol in the fact that nobody came in with any preconceived notions of what she was going to do. That gave her a bit more room to have fun with it, I think.
It's like a civilian season.
Yeah.
After 24 years, they're that non-famous.
Mm. Yeah, and it's not necessarily a bad thing that she isn't a big name here, because it then meant that nobody really knew how to play around her. Like, if you go back to Yura, and I don't really want to bitch about Yura too much, even though you know he deserves it.
I do.
We saw immediately from minute one that three of those people, including Yura, knew each other. And that gave him less room to work with immediately, because people come in with preconceived notions of what he's going to do. Because they're friends.
And Anna had the opportunity to be a much more of a jerk towards Case at the reunion, because I mean, Rick and the whole edit for all the sabotage has just made Case even worse. It made Case look even worse than Babs during the reunion. And at least Anna felt bad enough and said, here's this fun little, you know, souvenir from the paddling challenge. You know, I did this just for you, as opposed to saying, you know, what the hell, Case? You didn't even figure out I was the Mole? Did you take stupid pills before the start of the season? At least she didn't do something like that.
Yeah, she gave him a David Correos Memorial meat platter. That's what it is. That is a reference that Saunders absolutely should get, but he still hasn't watched Taskmaster.
Yeah, I was about to say, is this a Taskmaster reference?
Yeah, it's a reference to probably the most infamous task in maybe even Taskmaster history, actually, which is the diss track task from New Zealand too, where someone felt so bad about his performance and threatening murder of the other team that he presented them both with meat platters at the episode recording. You absolutely should watch that show, Saunders. You'd love it. Anyway, time for some by-rote admin that we've been waiting for all season long, because for the second year running, I've got them all in the team, meaning I win the pool. Fonz's win means Logan finishes second, and inexplicably, despite having a full team just 2 weeks ago, Michelle finishes in last place again. It's made all the sweeter by something I pointed out last week, which is the fact that if we hadn't done the pool this year, nothing would have changed. This is literally the finishing order from last year again.
But God, it was fun watching Michelle lose.
Yeah, it was. It's delicious every time she loses. I can't help myself. I know I shouldn't gloat because it'll eventually get back to her, but it's just delicious. On First Suspicions, 8 people, Julian, Walter, Kieran, Femke, Sven Derek, the Dutch Public, Bindles and I, all had Anna as number one suspect on First Suspicions, whilst the lowest that she appeared on anyone's list was 8th. And since Saunders loves me to declare a winner, we do have another record breaker, which is Sven Derek, who put Anna in first and Fonz in second for a perfect finish. He's the first person ever to get a perfect finish on First Suspicions.
Ah, Sven Derek. Kudos to him.
Congratulations, Sven Derek. On the suspect list, it is time, even though we know what's going to happen for the results, In the bonus questions, Anna unlocked in the Frida Kahlo challenge. She climbed the mountain. She was on the side away from Rick in the pub quiz. She was at the antique market. She chose to play for three Yokas in Rosario's pot drain walk. She did not become treasurer in episode 6. She drove in Kazama. She did not have a special role in episode 8. And she sorted the keys in the lagoon. I wonder who's going to win this with a perfect 130 score, Bindles. The leaderboard is, with a perfect 130, equal first is Bindles and Femke. 127 is Anastasia and Reed. And me in fifth with 117. Little secret that we didn't let everyone in on last week, in the fact that Thomas alerted me to the fact that I did not submit week 8 and therefore was not going to get a clean sweep. I did have a little discussion with him this week, knowing that you were going to win, asking whether I could implement a late rule that anyone named Bindles lost 30 points when I pressed that button, but for some reason he didn't want that to happen.
Weird.
Yeah.
Checks in the mail.
So, Thomas, you're in my shit list for that. and Saunders placed 8th, I do have to point out. You got 107 points. Top 10 was Bindles and Femke in first. Yeah. Anastasia and Reed in equal third. Me in fifth. David V in sixth. Yip in seventh. Logan in eighth. Fuzzy in ninth. And Annika in 10th. On our suspicions each week, I mean, you know what I'm going to say. All of us got Anna in our top suspects every single week for a perfect score each. Congratulations all around.
Huzzah.
Hey, Macarena.
Anything else you guys want to say about this this season?
It's a solid premiere and then a few rocky bumps in the middle part of the season, and then it ended off on a decent note and a surprisingly satisfying reunion episode.
Isn't Rocky Bumps who the money was donated to?
Yeah, that's her new charity.
It's why she goes around punching kids.
What? I think you're confusing it with Rocky bum fights, I think.
See, punching kids, Logan thinks is funny. If you punch a horse, then he gets upset.
What? Not the horse? What the hell was the... I don't even know how you got punching kids from Rocky's bumps. That was so random.
Giving someone birthday bumps is punching them on the arm for the birthday. Who knows that?
Well, she's punching kids on their birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the charity. It's like Make-A-Wish Foundation. Oh, it's this kid's birthday. Time to bring Rocky to give out the Rocky bumps.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing like free association, and the first thing that popped into your mind is, yeah, it's Rocky punching kids. What?
Anyway, on that note, thank you for listening to our Vista Mall 2024 recaps all season long. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time to begin the hunt for a new mall in Sicily, and next week to start Hunted Series 7. Don't forget to contact us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, where we are RTV Warriors. You can email us and contact us at rtvwarriors.com. Logan's on the artist formerly known as Twitter at Lux of Quacky. Bindles is a Grim Recapper, and I'm MJ Harmstone. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/RTVWarriors. Thank you as always to Marika for the subtitles all season long and Thomas for the suspect list. We will see you on March 28th for Demol Belkia, Sicily.
Peace out and just chill till the next season.
Hey, Macarena.
Ich bin Demol.